Hey Bulldogs, it's Nina Viglianti, and welcome to this week's episode of Beyond the Tassel. I am a sport and exercise physiology major of DeSales Class of 2025, and I am excited to be hosting this podcast with the purpose of reconnecting with our alumni and informing DSU students about the endless possibilities beyond graduation. Get ready to be inspired by our stories of our alumni and learn valuable insights from their career journeys. Now it's time to introduce this week's guest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Tassel. I'm so excited to have you here. Today, we are talking to Chad Bruckner. He is a graduate from DeSales. And would you like to talk a little bit more about yourself?
Hey, Nina. How you doing? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm a Lehigh Valley resident. I am a retired police officer and a former Army veteran. So for 21 years, I served in those kind of services, military and police services. So for the last 3 years, I've been a small business owner here in the Valley. I have two small businesses. I have a private investigation firm where we serve local government clients. And I have a second company, small business, that is a speaking coaching firm that I do performance coaching and presentations. Two businesses and individuals on leadership, resilience, trauma, and topics like that. So I really love what I do. And as a DeSales alumni, I was so fortunate to get two degrees there. I got my bachelor's and my master's. And this is coming from a guy that barely passed high school. So, I just have a lot of pride for being a DeSales alumni and everything that happens there. It's such a great, great campus, great university, great people, great culture.
Yeah, I agree. I really think that kind of culture and the representation that the school has in the Valley, since I'm also from the Valley, like it really brought me to the campus as well. And it really brought me to become a student there.
That's really neat. Yeah. Even the aesthetics of when you drive on a campus, you're like, you just feel it's a little kind of private, small university, kind of away off the road, off 309. And just even driving into it, it's like, you're by yourself. There's nobody else around. It's just the sales. So it's
yeah.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. So if you don't mind me asking, and also for people listening, what were your exact majors and like what were your exact programs and how did that lead you to your jobs and how did that lead you to where you are now?
Yeah, great topic. So I was a police officer when I started taking classes at DeSales. And I wanted to be, my goal was to be a chief of police. So I will be somewhere in administration. So to advance, I'd have to have some sort of secondary education because to be a police officer at that time, and it still is this way, you actually only need a high school diploma in many, many areas. Some departments still require 60 credits or military, 3 years of military service in lieu of a college degree. But still, a lot of police departments don't require that. But to advance, you certainly need that post-secondary education. So I was aware of that. And I just started taking one class at a time as a rookie patrolman starting in 2009. I got hired as a cop in 2008. So 2009, my wife was pregnant with our first kid. Just started taking one class at a time as a criminal justice major. And I did one class at a time from every time I could through the access program from 2009 to 2015. Just one class at a time, including summer. Never took more than that because I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. And finally, 2015, I had a bachelor's in criminal justice from DeSales. And something happened at that point. I never wanted to be a college student. I never thought I'd be one. I went in the military at 17. College didn't seem like an option for me at that time of my life. And after I graduated my college, or as I was wrapping up with my undergrad, it just fueled passion to keep going. So applied for my master's. And when I graduated in May of 2015, and that summer of 2015, I started taking my first master's course. I just kept going straight through one at a time again. In 2020, graduated the master's. So, and that was in digital forensics. I went through the access program of digital forensics and I was a detective at that time. So I was actually using that training and that education I was already deploying that in my field as a detective. So it was pretty neat to take those classes, especially my master's, and take those really specialty courses as an expert in the field that qualifies an expert in Montgomery County and in the Commonwealth of many areas. So it's pretty neat to, in real time, I don't know how many people get this opportunity to practice in real time your education and deploy it as you're taking it. It's pretty neat, instead of going to college and getting trained, then going into the field and building your experience that way. I was building my experience in the field, becoming an expert, then started taking the master's class at the same time. And it just fueled so much confidence and ability in me because I was getting now this educational component to it. So just have a lot of pride and gratitude for the sales and everything it's done for me in my life.
Yeah, we do have the access program. And I think a lot of people don't know about it, or a lot of people just don't really think about it, because a lot of my friends that are in different majors, they're taking like business classes with the access program also while doing like their regular traditional undergraduate. And I think it advances a lot of like your skills and things. I even took a class over the winter, which was access, I guess, to keep my credits in line so I wouldn't get too overwhelmed as well.
Yeah, smart. And I think that's wise. There's so many opportunities out there now, not just at the sales, but just in this world, to be creative, to think outside the box, to design a life that is most beneficial to ourselves as individuals in this crazy world we live in with technology and the fast-paced society we live in today. I still think there are opportunities, many, to create a life that is advantageous for us as individuals, whether that's school, like you do with that winter class to keep you on track, like be creative, think outside the box. The Access program for me was phenomenal. I mean, I think it was 8 weeks, right? They're 8 week courses. And I was a professional. I have three kids at home. I'm a very active family man. So, you know, I really wanted a program that checked as many boxes as I could, that would still let me be a professional, still give me time at home, my family. I coach both my boys in sports. So, you know, time is a factor to have to be really mindful of. And the Access program was just amazing. Everything was on my own. I was able to get most of my work done on my own pace, my own schedule. When I was working night shift, if I could get some work, basic work done at 3 a.m, then I'll get it done at 3 a.m. It just allowed that ability to do that. So, yeah. And I didn't feel like I was losing much connection, you know, with the material or the lessons, you know, which is always the flip side of the disadvantage to taking online classes or sort of some sort of hybrid format is, do you miss that education? And you know, obviously, if you're with somebody practical in real time, you're going to be able just to pick up a little bit more. But I don't, looking back, I don't feel like that impacted me at all. So yeah, overall, the Access program is very beneficial.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. One of the questions I did really want to ask is, how did you get started becoming the motivational speaker and becoming that other half of your life after being the police officer?
Wow, yeah, that's, I'll keep this the abridged version. For me, I went through some events in my life, just 21 years of serving people in the military, police, always kind of immersing myself into difficult situations, trying to solve problems for people and be there for people in the course of my job. Those acts for me in my life and the way I pursue service, now I can see this clearly, but at that time I couldn't. There was a risk. I was at risk for burnout, a risk for low emotional health, which is what I ended up experiencing, because I'm one of those guys that really just goes. I incorporate self-care into my routine. So as I got older, was approaching 40, my emotional health was off, my mental health was off. And I love talking about this because I think this is how we set good examples for other men and other people, especially young students, to be able to freely talk about, you know, the situations in your life that cause you pain and problems. Because I have learned, if we mitigate or if we address those issues, those mental and emotional health challenges, we mitigate the time that we need to invest in them. And we also get back on the horse much quicker. When we don't acknowledge it, we're not vulnerable, we don't put in resources to heal and get better, we just keep kicking this can down the road. And then I think we wake up at 50 years old and we don't have a whole lot in our life, you know, that we're really proud of because of we chased things that we didn't keep ourselves healthy along the journey. So that's what happened to me. At the end of my 21 years, I really started to suffer through some emotional and mental health problems. I also went through some events at work, just interpersonal stuff with other people at the job that is, you know, just kind of part of the nature when you're dealing with alpha personalities. Eventually you're going to run into some that can be a little harmful for you. And so there was kind of a mixed bag of a lot of things. And it made me really evaluate my life and say, you know, if I just turned 40, I had 13 years of police experience, 21 years overall of government service. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to try something new. I've done this for my whole life. I'm going to kind of bet on myself, go into business. And as I started to heal and pick myself up, answered your question about the motivational speaker, that's really what led. I never planned on being that. But as I started to give talks and speeches and on my journey, my story, just my experience I went through, I started seeing a lot of like tears in the crowd. I started seeing claps, got some standing ovations. And I really started to kind of dig into like, what am I doing here? What is this message I'm putting out about resilience, about picking yourself up when you fall down, about setting a good example for others? You know, what am I doing here? I think we're in a time in a world where we need to hear that message more. That's what it looks like or sounds like to me. So it just kind of picked up and started, I want to start doing more of it to touch more lives. And I don't have really a great robust plan about it or this big vision of it, but I'm kind of going with it and riding the wave and however I can impact and help others and share my message. And especially the younger generation, your generation, you know, like you are, Nina, like your generation's the next president, the next, you know, Supreme Court. Like we have to start really thinking about, I'm 43 years old now. Like I need to, my generation needs to be giving back to you guys. So you guys are prepared to lead my kids in the next generation, because you will be in charge of my children at some point. So I think that way. I mean, I was in the military and police. I know how systems and institutions work. So I think if we all put in as much goodwill out and help your generation thrive so you can take over and lead this country and lead us and my kids and the next generation, that's how we help each other. So yeah, the motivational speaking was like, we're at a lot of pain in this country. There's a lot of conflict and division. And I served with some of the most amazing people in the world that look completely different than me. And it's like, how can I put my love and my experiences into the world so we can all see that, let's look past the vision and tap into the love in our hearts. Because when you get love in your hearts and when you tap into that love, it's really hard to break that up. And I've experienced people try to break up love in your hearts, you know, and it's really hard to do that when you don't have love in your heart. You can be manipulated. You can be pushed around much easier. And you can be divided. You can be gaslit. All these things can happen when you have true love in your hearts and you know who you are and what you want to do in the world. It's really hard for people to come break that thing up. So that's what I want to help others kind of find their love in their hearts so they can't be pushed around as much.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Thank
that
you.
Was very motivational, just you talking about it to me. I just feel like,
oh wow.
Yeah, I feel like the connection that someone that would bring to like a group of people. I think you've spoken at the sales before, correct?
I don't think I ever spoke at the sales. No.
Oh, then I must be thinking of something.
I spoke at a chamber meeting at the Hotel Bethlehem. I think of the sales, like Wendy was there for the sales. Some people from the sales were there, but I never actually spoke at the sales. Would like to do that, because you're right. When I was in the Army, I went in at 17 years old, right? You know, think of this. I'm 17. I had absolutely no knowledge of anything other than I'm here. I'm in good shape. I'm a good young kid, and I'm going to bust my butt to work hard. But you're going to have to show me everything. I don't know. And the military shows you everything. They train you. They have to train you. They have to prepare you. They have to mentor you. They have to follow up with you. You make your failures, your mistakes. By 20 years old, I was promoted to sergeant and leading other men in combat. So what's that gap from 17 to 20? There was tons of growth and mentorship in that time. If you're not in the military, where are you getting that mentorship at? If you don't have, like, luckily somebody, fortunately somebody in your life that's giving you that one-on-one mentorship, I think most kids don't have, young people don't have that true mentor that's sharing, being real, sharing the lessons learned, what the mistakes made, the great successes I've had. And let me tell you with some of these successes, some of the negative that came out of some of the successes, because with success brings negativity too. And with negative stuff brings positive stuff. So like, if you don't have people modeling that for us, I know as a young person, if I didn't have somebody modeling that for me, it would have taken me longer to get there. So I just think we have a duty now. I'm in my 40s, and I just feel this real raw duty to help you and your colleagues and your peers and everybody that's coming up now, really going to be the next main effort of this country and leadership roles all across government and private industry. We have a duty. It's a duty and obligation to help you get to where you need to go. This is America. This is not some land of isolation. We were founded by values and togetherness and brotherhood and sisterhood. So I still don't forget that. And that's what makes me love this country. I want to help so much. So yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think since you talked about mentorship, like some people don't even have that. And that's why you have to look for other resources. And if you do go to college, like that's where it starts, is in college or continuing education or continuing with a job. Like you need to have that mentor to really push you to do your best and to figure out what you want to do going forward, and majors and classes you take and things like that, and careers you want to pursue. Like that is something I feel like is really important while growing up and becoming who you want to be in the future.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. So when I went in the Army at 17, I'm going to correlate this to college. I went in the Army at 17, which is essentially my college experience. I went into that really wanting, you almost have to kind of go into being passionate about it anyway. But I definitely committed myself to learning. I think about when you're 17, 18, coming into college, it's the same experience. You have to come in. You're not going to have all the answers, but you have to come in trying to advocate for yourself. You know, that's what I've learned about life, is waiting for people to advocate for you is really a slippery slope. And if you're 18 and you're listening to this, and you're 16, and you're going to go to college, you're 20 something, you know, advocate for yourself. And learn as much as you can, wherever you're at, whatever that environment is. This is one thing I do in my talks. And I talk about wherever you're at in life is setting you up for the next phase. I kind of use realms. I don't like, or chapters of a book. Chapters are realms as opposed to like just a linear timeline. But if you think of a chapter in a book, you know, Nina's in chapter 4, right? At DeSales University. This is Nina's DeSales University story. Well, chapter 4 is going to end and chapter 5 is going to begin. And then chapter 5 will end and chapter 6 will begin. Things that you do with chapter 4 are going to affect 5, 6 and the rest of your life. So you're not going to be perfect in your intentions and your outcomes, but you know, anybody, whatever phase you're in, whatever realm you're in, master that realm, learn as much as you can, because once that chapter ends, you're not going back. You can't go back. Oh, I'm going to go back and do this again. Do it now while you're here, learn as much as you can. And that's going to prepare you for the next realm. And when you get in that realm, forget about everything else, master what you are in that realm, in that environment, because that will end at some point, guaranteed. Nothing lasts forever. And that will set you up, and you're much more prepared. When that ends, you're not sitting there sitting on your hands, because you're prepared, you're experienced, you've done a lot of things, and you immerse yourself in whatever environment you're in. So when change happens in this crazy world, and it's guaranteed to happen to all of us, instead of the chaos following you, you can stand in front of the chaos and say, I'm ready and prepared for that next moment. It won't be easy all the time, but you're prepared because you immerse yourself and you're a doer of things, you know, not just an observer of things.
Yeah, I think doing things and carrying out certain responsibilities, certain even classes, and doing things for family, for friends, like doing it is gives you the experience then to know what you want to do in the future, know how to solve a problem, or know how to come up with something like an idea for whatever you're doing with your life. Like, I think just doing it and going out and putting yourself out there, like you said, is something that's really important.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. And because we don't have all the answers. Like Nina, me, we don't have all the answers, right? So building good networks and being a good person, putting yourself in the world that when you need help or you need resources from people, they are willing to help you and they're willing and they're ready to respond. That's part of another part of the journey. I don't think we do enough good job mentoring young people and is how do you show up in the world and build good relationships to be there? Whatever season you're in, if you're going for applying for a loan, right? And you know people in the banking industry, the finance, because you made those relationships. Or if you want to buy a house, you made contacts. Or whatever you're doing, it's like make those relationships. Don't be transactional. Sometimes it is transactional. That's business, but it cannot be relational. And that's, I think, when you're relational, people that's the stuff that keeps paying back down the road when you need favors or you need a help or you need a hand, because we all need a hand. I was a guy thinking I don't need a hand. I'm good. I'll help other people. And so I needed to help myself. And that was a unique situation for me. So.
Yeah, I think if you help others, others will help you. It's like you give and then you receive. Like you have to have both ends of that spectrum. And really, that will also lead you to figuring out how to do things. Because if you let other people help you, you can help others. And then you can go on and figure out things on your own or with other people. And that'll just set you up for success.
Yeah, no doubt. Humility, right? You're humbling yourself to say, you know what, I don't know what I don't know, but I do know what I do know. I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to add value wherever I can. I'm also going to listen like heck and learn from other people and where I can also fit in and add value. Sometimes I'm going to have to lead, and sometimes I'm going to have to sit in the back of the line and be the follower, and that's okay. Both are okay. You're not always going to be the superstar, and sometimes you have to follow. So those are all, I think, lessons for life.
Yeah, I'm right now doing an internship, and there are some times when I have no idea what I'm doing, but then there's other times that I do know what I'm doing and learning what to do and figuring out, okay, how can I apply this? Because I'm sport and exercise physiology, so I'm doing a rehab one and how to help someone set up and then how to take blood pressures. I didn't know how to do that, but now that I'm learning and now that I'm experiencing it, it's getting a lot easier for me. And then hopefully I can help someone do the same thing in the future.
Is that building your confidence? Like when you start to progress through things, you feel yourself getting more confident in it?
I do for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's from doing it, which is really neat. It's like you're not watching it or listening to somebody tell you a story about it. You're rolling your sleeves up, you're doing it, building that confidence. And then you could be 30 years old and be some of the most confident person in your amongst your peer group because you're doing things. You're rolling your sleeves up. And I think that's awesome what you're doing. I think it's really neat. What year are you in?
I'm gonna be a senior this upcoming
Oh,
fall.
wow. Wow. Really neat. That's really neat.
Yeah,
That's
so I think,
a cool track.
yeah. It is a cool track. And I think there's so many things that I can do with my major. And I'm sure that you've experienced it when you were in co like when you were taking classes, of course. Like there's so many things that you can do with all the majors, and you had no idea until you experienced it yourself.
Yeah. And I was a cop taking the access classes, and just going to that school environment, which was so awesome for me. It was like it just I mean, it truly is like college, universities, the sales are the place of that inspiration. You sit there and you listen to a professor, you listen to a classmate, you take a class that you have no knowledge in, and you learn something new in that class, which is the whole point of going. And it just fuels you or pivots you or shifts something inside of you. You're thinking about how could I deploy this in another profession, or how could I take this knowledge or information and inspiration and do it somewhere else? And I think that's just the human nature. Even I love being a cop and sat there in class and saying, how could I do this and something other than being a police officer? And I just think that's being in a classroom that's inspiring, pondering, looking out the window, thinking of the possibilities.
Yeah, I do have a question actually. So when you were pursuing your master's degree with digital forensics, was there like an experience that you went to go see someone actually doing that? Like not like an internship since it was a master's class, but more of like a field experience? Was that something that inspired you to keep going with becoming what you are now, or was it something that just you have now as like a skill set?
No, I was actually doing that in the field at the time. So when I got promoted to detectives in 2012, I was still finishing my undergrad. And shortly after I got promoted to detectives, I started doing a lot of digital forensics investigations. Cell phones are really becoming like 2010 to 2012, pretty much everyone in the world by that point had a cell phone. It still wasn't as common as we thought at that time. But by 2010, 2012, I mean, cell phones became a part of almost every investigation at that point. Everyone drove down the car, down the street with their phone. I mean, we're at a point now people sleep with their phones in their pockets. You know, it's like it becomes an extension of your body. And so phones became a part of almost every investigation, Nina. I mean, every investigation I was touching on was drug cases, drug dealers use cell phones, interact with drug buyers. So as I started going through cell phones and the evidence, I started realizing this is like a field onto of itself. I mean, it started to really grow digital forensics and computers. And now you can obtain data off TV, smart TVs and smart cars. You can actually obtain data from these instrument panels. So the digital evidence and the digital information age is this field is blew up. So as I was in the field actually doing it, and I was graduating with my undergrad, I remember talking, I think it was an advisor telling me about the digital forensics track, and I was doing it at the time, so I was so passionate about it. So yeah, it was just an easy transition to do it. And then I was actually running some of these scripts and these computer programs, running this stuff in real time as I'm learning about it, the educational component that I never got. Because as detectives, nobody trains you really how to use all this stuff. You kind of have to figure it out yourself. And you go to training course and you get certification classes, no doubt about that. But when you're in college, you're really immersing yourself into the process of learning and getting better. So it was really cool to learn the back end of that stuff that I imagine kids in their 20s, you know, early 30s are going back to school. Here I am, late 30s, going through this and working in the field in real time. So it was really neat.
I think doing like the field things and really like seeing it come to life is something that really could inspire you to keep going or put you on another path. That's especially what us at the Career Development Center, that's what we help others with. And I feel like when you go out and do the things, you'll really figure out, okay, what do I like? What do I not like? What's my niche? What should I stay away from? Things like that. And I think just doing it is just going back to doing it and then figuring out what you want to do from there is something really important, especially finding out what your future's gonna hold.
Yeah, and pivoting, right? Like I imagine your age, your peers, you guys are having to constantly pivot in this world of like, okay, I'm going to try this, like committed myself to this. Okay, this didn't work. I'm going to pivot and do this. And I think if we can help younger generations learn how to like pivot and, you know, commit yourself to something, pivot if it doesn't work. If it does work, double down on it. Those are all skills I think in college, at least for me as a critical thinker, really can open up about, okay, this might not be what I thought it was. So now I have to really dig deep into what I challenge my own perceptions. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, definitely. So that's all I have for you today. I just want to thank you again so much for coming on and talking to me. And I'm definitely going to keep taking what you said and keep going and take pivots when I need to and figure out like what's in the future for me. And I hope whoever's listening to this also feels that same way.
That's all. All the best to you. Thanks for having me on, and I really appreciate the conversation. You're doing awesome work.
Oh, thank you so much. And if you have any questions for Chad, his LinkedIn will be linked in the description. And yeah, thank you so much again for coming on.
Thanks, and I appreciate having me.
Thank you once again for tuning into today's episode of Beyond the Tassel. It is our honor to present the success stories of our DeSales alumni via podcast. If you are a DeSales alumni and would like to be a guest on the show, you can contact melanie.vallone@desales.edu. And if you are currently a DeSales student and would like to connect with an alumni in your field, you can contact kathy.krause@desales.edu. Until next time, Bulldogs.